AgBio Science is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
Look, for 20 some years, this is the thing that we've done, and we haven't moved the needles the way that we thought we had or should have been. That's number one. And number two is look here, if we move it to where they say we should, what are we actually getting from it?
Welcome to Ag Bioscience, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Here is your host, Agrinovis CEO, Mitch Fraser.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. Biologicals, the broad category of ag input products derived from living organisms, is one that has witnessed significant growth both in terms of adoption and investment. An analysis of PitchBook data reveals there have been more than 6,000 deals in the global ag biotech market over the past decade. And one of those companies driving growth is Biodyne. And Bodie Kitchell, the company's National Director of Agronomy, joins us to share more about the market and what's ahead. Bodie, welcome to Ag Bioscience.
Thanks, Mitch. Happy to be here.
It is good to be with you. Bodie, I think it's so important to start with the basics. I think folks need to understand, what are biologicals and how are they used in agriculture broadly?
As I think about that question, for being in this space the last 4 years, studying it the last seven, it seems like a simple question, but being in the market, it actually is extremely more difficult than that. Everybody seems to lump biologicals and biostimulants together, and I think it's very important to understand the difference. Biologicals is what you just said there, is living microorganisms that go through an enzymatic process, release the enzymes, and make nutrients available in an attempt of season-long nutrient efficiency. Whereas biostimulants, whether it's humic, fulvic, sugars, amino acids, those are food sources for microorganisms. And while you may get some of the similar or same benefits, we have to understand that when we're using live microorganisms, those are specific microorganisms isolated for specific capabilities, whether it's nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, sulfur, zinc, et cetera, on the nutrient solubilization side. When you go humic, fulvic, sugars, what you're doing is adding a food source to just try to stimulate your entire microbiome or all of the microorganisms in there. And that could be good or beneficial microorganisms, but we also know that we have pathogenic microorganisms or disease-causing microorganisms. So it's very important, if you start to think about the biological space, segregating biology and biostimulants.
Really helpful. And I think as you look at this broader market, Bodie, the Fertilizer Institute reported in 23 that more than a third of U.S. farmers are using biologicals, one or more products, on their crops. As you look at that split, as you look at the market, what's driving that growth?
You go back to Biodyne's inception in the row crop space back in 2012, and you really start to look at this, and it probably aligns with the way that the average consumer adopts technology, right? You've got your innovators at about 2.5%. You've got your early adopters at about 13.5%. Then you have your early majority at 34%. And I think the industry as a whole, we're probably somewhere between early adopters and early majority. And I think that everybody's why is a little bit different. I know on our own farm, for me, it was that we had done things the same way for the last 20 years with fertility management and felt like we continued to hit a wall. And, you know, I tell people that I was the young guy coming back from school and I had zero risk. It wasn't my name on the checks. So I was a genius, right? I was educated at school and no risk. And so I looked at my dad and grandpa and I said, hey, if it's not working this way, then let's do something different. And for us, 7 years ago, we jumped into the biological space as far as pulling back some of the nutrients that we had been applying and putting biology in their place to see if we could get a different outcome. So I think some are driven by the economic. They feel like they have to do something different. I think some are driven by the intrigue and wanting to be on the forefront or the cutting edge of everything. And then you've got everybody else that's kind of sitting back and saying, okay, I'm going to watch and see if those guys fail. I'm going to see if those guys fail. And I think that that's where we're at, is you hear more and more companies, and I mean big companies, right, that are in this space, whether it's an acquisition, whether it's that they're putting a lot of money into research and development. So I think you're only going to see that number continue to grow. But I think everybody's reason why is just slightly different for why they're interested in to the biological landscape.
You mentioned the economics, and I think this is a really important piece. As we look at the broad farm economics, you're a farmer yourself. You know this better than anyone. Corn prices down 25%-ish year over year. Big equipment manufacturers forecasting double-digit sales decreases. As you look at this biologicals market, does this current tight farm economy create a drive to adopt, right, as we see this shift maybe or this augmentation of synthetic chemistry with biologicals? Or does it create a headwind where folks say, hey, look, I need to preserve everything I can, not try anything new, and drive the yield that I know that I can drive?
Yeah, and I think the answer is yes for both of those. I think it creates opportunity. There are some headwind. I think the headwind is those growers that look at this as an add-on. If you're looking at biologicals as a, I'm going to add this cost of production, I'm not going to change anything else, I'm not going to tweak anything else, but I'm going to add whatever the number is, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. I think that is an absolute headwind, and rightfully so. I tell people in our own organization, if farmers aren't asking that question, I have a little bit of concern. Right? It's our job to educate the consumer as to what biology really should be doing. Now, saying all of that, the way that we've positioned this for years, and I think that we've been able to do that because of the technology that we have, that we've brought in Agronomy 365, we educate. We talk about being an education company more so than a solutions provider or technology or anything that it's educating. Where do we need to spend the first dollar? And a lot of our growers that work with us, we're part of the first dollar, not the last dollar. So those that look at you as, hey, this is a $10, a $15, a $20 an acre. Yeah, it's easier to make that investment when corn's got a five in front of it. But the growers that we're working with, you know, they understand what we're trying to accomplish. And I tell people, there has to be an economic impact year one. But we can't get so fixated on the economic impact of year one that we don't look at what the benefits are year two, year three, year four, and year five. And when you're looking at this biological side, there is, for us, for me on our farm, we continue to do it, there is an economic impact here and now. But my focus was, is how do we start to change these soils? How do we start to change the way that they behave and release nutrients and drive yield long term, not just today?
On your farm, you mentioned coming back from school and being the guy who said, let's try biologicals. What was the calculus you did? How did you work through with your family farm of saying, hey, this is the right thing to invest in? And how did you go from none to some to full scale?
For me, it was, you know, I spent time in ag retail. I tell people I was classically trained as far as looking at a soil test and feeling like, man, I could make a recommendation with how many pounds of MAP and or DAP and potash you would need to try to balance your soils, whether you needed lime. And it wasn't until maybe 2012, 13, I took a soil test and a tissue test in season. And, you know, I thought, man, I'm gonna learn something here, right? And what I learned was is that everything that I had learned previous maybe didn't line up exactly the way that I thought. And what I mean by that is where I had the highest phosphorus in my soil test, I actually had the lowest phosphorus that was moving into my plant. Where I had the lowest phosphorus in my soil, I had more phosphorus in the plant. So you take a guy that has been classically trained of, hey, we're going to try to get our P levels to a, you know, a specific number. It kind of blew up my world. And so I'm thinking, okay, I'm the kind of person, I annoyed the heck out of my dad and my grandpa when I was younger and we were farming. I asked millions of questions. I got a four-year-old son, and he's an epitome of me, but he's probably on steroids. Like, he's me to the nth degree. My grandma and I have this conversation all the time. And I couldn't accept that the way that it had been done was the answer for us. And so, you know, it wasn't things that I learned at college. It was things that I saw in the field, and I had to start to find those answers out. And that chain of event led me to, you know, people, I'm a big, big, big believer in things happen for a reason, whether we understand them or not at the time. And that me just trying to pursue an answer led me to a lot of people. And I tell people all the time, I'm not arrogant enough to believe that I'm going to have it all figured out. I'm just dumb enough to think that I can. And that's my pursuit. Like, that's what drives me every day, is to try to answer that. And so for us on our farm, it was a fairly easy adoption for us because I had the data in front. I could show my grandpa, I could show my dad. I was able to tie the economics to it and show them. And they're like, look, for 20 some years, this is the thing that we've done. And we haven't moved the needles the way that we thought we had or should have been. That's number one. And number two is look here, if we move it to where they say we should, what are we actually getting from it? And it was opposite of what we had been told. And so for us, that scale process happened really, really quick.
How has this market evolved and where is it headed? We'll dig into it right after this. Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
A healthy company is a blessing, but a well-insured company is a necessity. That's why Indiana Farm Bureau offers more affordable health plans for eligible members. Whether you have just a handful of employees or a larger enterprise, building a stable business demands employees who are just as strong and healthy. Indiana Farm Bureau can help with health plans that include medical, dental, vision, and Medicare supplement insurance plans. And you can sign up for membership and apply for an Indiana Farm Bureau health plan any time of year. Indiana Farm Bureau understands the cost of health care has rapidly become one of the largest expenses for many small businesses. We invite you to compare our health plans to your current coverage. We're confident you could find significant savings. To learn more about the health plan that's right for you, visit infbhealthplans.com and make the switch today.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. We're talking with Bodie Kitchell, National Director of Agronomy for Biodyne. Bodie, this is a fascinating journey from where you've been, where the company's been, but I want to dig into the broader market. You have a super unique perspective. You've been at the front row of the evolution over the last couple decades of this market. You've spent time with the Andersons, you've spent time with Monsanto, now at Biodyne. Walk us through how you've seen this biologicals market evolve and what's the unique place, the unique space in the market that Biodyne's tackling?
I think it's been fascinating to see. You go back to, I don't even know the year, but Monsanto acquired Novozymes. I mean, that was really their first step into the biological landscape, if you will. The Andersons, you know, they started looking at Humix and Fulvix, right? That was kind of their step into maybe, is this legit? Is this real? We're going to go. We're going to take baby steps. And I'll break the two categories down a little bit differently. Monsanto, you know, they kind of have to. When you're looked at as a leader in the seed and the technology landscape, you're expected to be an innovator, right? You are expected to continue to look at what is on the horizon. And I think that that's what they did. I think that they thought at the time that Novozymes was the best partner for them. I would say that the industry probably wasn't ready yet for the conversation around biology, and they didn't know how to position it, right? They had different iterations of what they were going to develop it, but really didn't seem to really grab that traction. Now, I think a company like the Andersons, and when I say this, I think retail, you think about the investment that your traditional retailers have to make to be able to handle bulk fertilizers, right? You think about, you know, the dry buildings, you think about the spreaders, you think about the tender trucks, you think about the people. I think that their reluctance to adoption isn't because they're in love with selling dry fertilizer. I think it's because they're afraid of the unknown, is what happens if we start to talk about or promote this biological understanding, or can we or can our growers actually reduce some of this fertility? So I work with a retailer in Illinois, and I kind of thought I needed to dance around that question with them. And they just said, listen, we understand. We have a business to run. We understand that we have infrastructure in this. But they said that we have to look at this for not just today, but for the future. And if we want to continue to be the input supplier of choice for our growers, we have to bring this information to them. And I think that that's what you're seeing right now, is you've got people that are the paradigm shift, if you will, is starting to happen a little bit, because the fear of the unknown is getting outweighed with, we have to continue to innovate to bring those solutions to our growers, because if we don't, somebody else is going to. So the space that we're in that I think that we do really well is the way that, you know, when I came here 4 years ago, I took the job with the premise actually, it was kind of a demand that if I was going to come work here, that we had to bring a soil and tissue platform in. And that is known as today as Agronomy 365. But my whole point on this, Mitch, was that I wanted to validate the biological landscape. I have tried numerous biological products, right? As I'm sure people that are going to tune into this are going to say, yeah, I've tried them too. They don't work. It's all snake oil, right? Well, if I was going to attach my name to it and an agronomic understanding, I wanted to be able to validate if we say at a bench level or in a lab setting that we can bring phosphorus solubilization, we can bring nitrogen availability, or we can bring potassium. So whatever the nutrient may be, that's great. Like, and our science team is second to none. I believe that. But from a grower, if I put my farmer hat on, I'm like, that's nice. Thank you. You have a nice facility. But do I really care what happens in a controlled setting? And so that was our attempt, was let's validate what our microbes are doing. And that's where I give all of the credit to Gil and TJ, because when I came in there and I sat down and said, if I'm going to work here, this is what we have to do. We've got to validate this marketplace. We have to validate our own microbes. We can validate other companies and what they do. They didn't bat an eye. They didn't blink. They said, absolutely. So if I had to sum up where we have made our noise in the marketplace, it's from that. It's bringing transparency and understanding. Do we understand everything about our microbes? No, not at all. There's still so much more. And I think that's what makes it fun and fascinating. But I would say in the 4 years that I've been here that we've brought this, we have learned things that the science team has now gone back to prove in a lab setting because of what we found in the field.
You mentioned Gil Farley, a guy who, one of the early founders of Biodyne, done some amazing work in this space. He made a big decision early on not to take venture. We started this podcast around 6,000 deals in ag biotech over the last decade. From your seat, this idea of fulfilling your own prophecy, right? Not being subject to outside investors. How has that given you unique perspective or unique ability? And what challenges and what opportunities has that created?
I think the biggest challenge is, you know, when you believe in the tech that you have and you believe in what you've done and you've seen what you've done, you want to scale. And the question is how fast can we get this message out? And when it's self-funded, I'll call it, it's kind of like the devil and the angel sitting on your shoulder that you've seen before, right? You've got on one side, it's like, hey, we got to get, you know, we got to get 50 more salespeople. And then over here, that devil, that's the CFO. And he's like, yeah, that ain't happening, right? We're not hiring 50 new people, right? You need another team of agronomists. Oh, we can't do that. So the challenges has been, you know, how do we get our message out to the masses? When you think about, and we have this discussion, Mitch, internally all the time, is when we look at what we've accomplished, it's kind of easy to be like, man, this has been amazing. Then you stop for just a second, and reality kind of comes in and hits you upside the head. And you're like, guys, you're still kind of nothing. If you think about the acres that we're impacting, it's minimal when you think about not the global landscape, but just the landscape in the United States with corn, soybean, and wheat, not even taking into consideration sugar beets and cotton and all of those crops that we've proven our technologies to work on. So I think that's maybe the biggest challenge is we feel like that we've got something that is special, something that is unique, something that needs to be in the hands of growers across the U.S. And the biggest challenge is how do you scale it? How do you get there with all of the things that you've got to place your money? You got to put infrastructure, right? You have to have people, all of those things. You got to decide like which one's going to take that investment first.
He is Bodhi Kishel, National Director of Agronomy at Biodyne. Bodhi, thanks so much for spending time with us in Ag Bioscience. It's been an absolute delight.
Thank you, Mitch.
And thank you for tuning into Ag Bioscience. You can now view Ag Bioscience as well on YouTube. Be sure to check us out there and be sure to check us out online and join us in person for events. You can learn all about our events and where we'll be at agronovusindiana.com/quadrant. On behalf of the entire Agronovus team, I'm Mitch Fraser, and thanks for listening and watching. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agronovus Indiana, hosted by Mitch Fraser, produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez, photography and design by Kaylee Kerr. If you liked today's episode, subscribe, rate, and review so we can bring you more conversations just like this. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience at agronovusindiana.com.